Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. We are AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter. And we hope you're having a fabulous Friday. So we have something really special for you this afternoon. As you know, Friday afternoons are World War II Project Day. And we have in studio with us Mr. Wilburn Potter. It is an honor to have you here, Wilburn.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Okay. We have quite a story to go. Your story is absolutely amazing. And so we are excited to share that story. So why don't we go ahead and just jump in here? How about that, Molly?
That sounds good.
Wilburn, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Toledo, Ohio in 1922. And believe it or not, I'm 95.
That's fantastic.
Anyhow, my father passed away when I was 5 years old in 1927 in Boulder because he had developed tuberculosis in Toledo, and they gave him the choice of Glenwood Springs to work or Boulder, and he chose Boulder because of the power plant there that he could be transferred to. And we buried him in Chandler, Indiana, came back to Boulder, and I've lived in Boulder until I was 29. And then I met a young lady in Colorado Springs. That's where I went to. And we were married in 1951. And she passed away almost 3 years ago now, and I sure do miss her. But her name was Janie Aiken, and she was born in Colorado Springs. So anyhow, that's part of my life. And I enlisted in the Navy on the 12th of November in 1943. And decided to join the Navy because they had fresh water, for one thing, a place to eat, and a good place to sleep all the time rather than the Army. That's what I thought it, yeah?
That's what they told you.
Yes. So, yeah, so it was a wonderful occasion to be on the Abner Reed, because it was a special ship. There were only 13 made at that particular time, and it was built in Bethlehem Shipyard in Colorado, in San Francisco, California. And I'll tell you a little bit about that later on. How's that?
That would be great. Now, Wilburn, where were you when you heard about Pearl Harbor being bombed?
Well, I worked at a place in Boulder called Alba Dairy, and they made Sundays ice cream sandwiches, malts of all kinds, and ice cream of all kinds. And that's where I worked on Sunday morning about 7 o'clock. I opened up the store with them and heard on the radio that Japanese had bombed Hawaii, and I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't hardly believe it. So that's where I worked on that particular Sunday morning.
Do you remember what went through your mind when you heard that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor?
No, I was just so shocked. I think like everyone else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I just stopped work, that's all.
Okay.
Well, and how did you decide that you were going to get involved, that you were going to join the military after that?
Well, I don't know what really actually started. I think it was because I met these young men the same age as I was, and they were in the same ideas with me. And it just seemed like it was a good place to be in the war of this particular kind.
Okay, so you then you decided to enlist, and you took the train from Boulder to Columbus.
Denver. No.
Boulder to Denver on Columbus Day, huh?
Correct.
Okay. So what happened then, Wilburn?
Well, I had to go to the Federal Building. And the Federal Building at that time was a huge, huge building with the recruiting office, more or less, at that particular place there. And I walked in, and there was a group of young men standing around talking, and some of them were sitting in the chairs and so forth. And I had all my my paperwork in my hand ready to hand it to someone. So pretty soon here came a young man. He collected all the paperwork that I had and everybody else's. And we waited, and pretty soon the door opened, and they called a group of men, and my name was listed in their group. So we walked in, and there were line on the floor, and the sailor said, "Everyone line up on that line down there, and I'll tell you what you're here for." And so we did, and he said, "We are checking out the body scars that you might have on your body in case of accidents." And so he said, "I need to have everyone take off their clothes, clear down, and put them on the floor in back of, in front of you." And so we did, and we stood there. And, of course, they have people walking by the door, the windows out there, you know, on the street and the sidewalks and everything. And we were standing there, and pretty soon this lady opened the door, and she said, "Everyone, oh, close your eyes. I'm coming in." I never will forget that.
Right. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny. So you're now in the Navy, right?
Yes, I've been in the Navy.
Okay. So then what happened after this event?
Well, I went to a place called Farragut, Idaho, and we took a train from Denver up towards Idaho, because at that time, Idaho, the Farragut, was being built. And they really haven't opened up the place too much. But at any rate, on the way to Billings, the train stopped. Of course, we couldn't see out the windows because we were ordered to keep the windows closed. Anyhow, the train stopped at Billings, Montana, and we opened up the curtains and the windows, and there were people out there, ladies, USO people, handing out cookies and fruit, apples and oranges, and drinks, so that we had something to nibble on and eat, which was a wonderful deal for the USO.
Oh, yeah.
And then we continued on until we got to a place called,
was it Fair?
Farragut.
Uh-huh.
Farragut. And the train stopped, and we all got off, and then waited for a while and boarded trucks to take us to Farragut, which was being, like I said, being built. And it was a very new place. And we all piled out of the truck and waited. And finally, some Navy guys came along and said, "Follow us." So we all followed them, and they took us to a building and introduced us to the head man there, who was a company commander for us. And he directed us to get ready for examinations, so forth. in which we did. And it was a great occasion to meet everyone. And finally, we went outside and did a went out on the grinder, which was looked like a big football field. And we ran around for a while and then came in and had a bite to eat. And he came over and introduced us to the people there in the quarters where we were going to stay. And we opened it up, and there were bunks galore inside. And each bunk had a silver bucket at the end of the bunk. We couldn't figure out what that was for. But anyhow, we found out later what that was for. And we were told that after we slept and the next morning, we started around the grinder again. And he said, "You're going to have breakfast today, but take a shower first." And so we all took showers. And after that,
Wilburn, we're going to stop right there. We're going to go to a commercial break.
Oh.
And say thank you to our wonderful sponsors. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We have in studio today Wilburn Potter. He's a World War II veteran, a Navy guy, and he was on the USS Abner Reed. So we're going to go to break. When we come right back, you'll want to hear the rest of the story.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516 or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, September 1st, the features at 88 Drive-In will include Annabelle, Creation, Atomic Blonde, Dunkirk, and Exit. Box office opens at 6 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m. Sunday through Thursday. Admission includes all features. The pizza special runs Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas all for $11. The pizzas are served fresh and hot from their oven. They are a staff favorite. May they suggest a warm funnel cake for dessert? They have added a fifth topping. Try their Fluffernutter Funnel Cake. What's a Fluffernutter Funnel Cake? It's a delightful mixture of marshmallow cream and peanut butter topping. Yum.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. It's World War II Day, which is always our very favorite day because we know that we've got to remember history so that A, we don't repeat the bad things, and that B, we remember really how great Americans are, and they always have been. Americans are willing to strap on, you know, armor and camo
boots.
And boots and helmets and go wherever they have to go to any other country in the world to help other people because that's who we are. So before we get back to our World War II story with Wilbert Potter, first, I just wanted to say anybody out there that ever has a computer issue and doesn't know who to call, check out EvanYourITGuy.com. EvanYourITGuy.com is a group of IT professionals. They provide on-demand help with your computer needs, and right now they're actually hiring veterans. So this is the perfect show to be listening to. And if you're an IT specialist and you're a veteran, give them a call. But basically, just go to their website. And also, they're giving away a free web camera cover for your computers. So if you go to evanyouritguy.com, under Discover, hit free webcam cover, give them your address, and mention the AmeriChicks, and you'll get a free one in the mail.
Yes, evanyouritguy.com. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. And this interview should be up within 24 hours, and you definitely want to share this with your friends and family. So we have Wilburn Potter in studio with us. Wilburn, it is just so great to have you here.
Thank you.
Okay, these stories are fascinating. So you have gotten to boot camp. You've been in Farragut, Idaho. So what happens after Farragut, Idaho? Where do you go?
Well, Farragut, Idaho was strictly a training base at that time. And for the Western Slope, California and all the other states, including Colorado. And during this training program, while we, of course, had shots, good food, place to sleep. And one thing that I remember about boot camp was that the shots were sometimes on both arms at the same time as you went through a door. And I'll tell you, some of those people that went through that door just didn't make it. They collapsed before they had a chance to do anything.
Wow.
Okay. After boot camp, we were sent to a place called Naval Training Station, San Pedro, California. And there you received orders waiting for a ship that might be ready to accept a new recruit or a new person aboard ship. Now, the Abner Reed at this time was still under construction, and I had a uncle there by name of Christmas, and he worked on the Abner Reed. He gave me a rivet one day as memory of the Abner Reed. Well, working on the Abner Reed before it was actually launched, they call you a certain name here, and it's called,
it's a plank owner, right? Plank owner?
A blank owner, that's what it was. And a blank owner is a proud person who actually was on the board ship before it was launched. So I kept that as a good trademark for myself. Well, we continued with the Abner Reed, working on it, and finally it was launched. And the first time was in August 18th, 1943, and we went out for a training program up and down the coast of California to practice gunnery, practice
they also did the shakedown.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And there we helped accompany ourselves to being aboard a ship that rocked back and forth, and a few trips back under the Golden Gate Bridge, which everyone more or less took their bucket along.
So that's what the bucket was for, huh?
We needed that all the time. You'd be surprised how much the ship rocks back and forth when it gets in rough weather. And it was a great trip. And finally, they received orders after so many months of work to join us up in Attu, Alaska, where a group of ships, now these are heavy ships, battleships, cruisers, destroyers, and so forth, up there in Alaska, because the Japanese were coming from Russia, which is pretty close to a place called Sitka, another island in the string. And they expected the Japanese to take over part of Alaska, and they wanted to stop the Japanese. So we were in that group of destroyers going up to Alaska, up there at Aleutian Islands, and we got there and sent ships closer to the beach. Now, one of the things aboard ship that I took over was the SG and SC radars. Now, the SC is a radar that detects ships aboard in the waters around whatever you find them in the radar on the radar screen. The other one was the SG, which is the aircraft detection instrument. And when you pick up something either on the SC or SG, you would report this to the CIC group, who had a huge map on the table, and they would put a little figure or dot on the land mass indicating that ship or whatever the case may be.
Wilburn, just a question. Wasn't radar, that was pretty new at that time.
Yes, it was very new.
Uh-huh.
And not many, I guess, the ships had these particular monitors and so forth. But at any rate, the Abner Reed had two of them. And we really depended on those things for detection of other ships near aircraft. Finally, we decided to go ahead and take over the land, and they sent the army from the troop ships that went up with us and found out that the Japanese had already left, and they didn't need the rest of the ships out in the harbor. So the Abner Reed was sent over to another one called Kiska. Now, Kiska is the last island on the string, of course. And as we pulled into the harbor, we saw caves where the Japanese had built their heavy cannons pointed for the United States in these caves.
And Wilburn, just a question on that. And this was, these caves were on U.S. territory, right? The Japanese were on U.S. land.
Yes.
And they had built these caves to attack further into Alaska, correct?
Correct. Yes. Uh-huh. And it was quite a setup that the Japanese held. And apparently they left in a hurry because some of the lunches that they had, coffee, so forth, and tea, was led almost a little bit on the warm side. So they left in a hurry. Well, as we were stationed in the harbor there, they took us off of general quarters because there was no activity around. And they had a special room aboard the Abner Reed, which the cooks, bakers, and the storekeepers, that was my job in the office there, were stations for rest and sleep. They had their bunks in there. Well, it was early in the morning, and there was a big poker game going on in this particular room. And a big blast took place and shook us, and everybody jumped up, practically fell out of their beds and so forth, and didn't know what the scoop was. And while we were trying to figure it out, two sailors came through the double door. It's just a watertight door with big latches on it, all covered with oil, and they informed us that was in there that 85 feet of the fantail had been blown off and sunk, and 72 of the crew that was sleeping back there, the third section, all went down with this section of the Abner Reed. Well, there happened to be a escape hatch in the deck up above, and we opened that up, and we all climbed out to this escape hatch and ran up the forward part of the ship. When we got to the main deck again up above the escape hatch, a lot of the mine layers, bombs, not mine layers, they were the...
Depth charges.
Yes. Were discharged and blew up, and the gas had affected the breathing. As we went ahead and went to the front part of the ship, a fire had broke out, and at this particular time, and we finally put that out with our water system. And the next morning, we decided to separate the remainder of the crew in half. Half stayed with the ship, and the other half could go on liberty and go home for 7 days. So that's what we did, and I was put on a Army troop ship at ADAC and went home to Bremerton, Washington. There, I got on a train after making reservations and went home for 7 days on liberty.
Okay, Wilburn Potter, let's stop right there. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. We're talking with Wilburn Potter, World War II veteran, Navy, on the USS Abner Reed. You won't want to miss the rest of this story. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson, and we'll be right back.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or a large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II Project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
And now, The Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
A couple in Connecticut decided to let their kids walk home from school alone every day, like many of us did growing up. But nowadays, people are so worried about overprotecting children that somebody called the police, and the parents are now charged with a crime. But these parents are fighting back. They're part of a new movement called Free Range Parenting, an effort to raise future independent adults. We all want children to feel safe, but good citizenship also requires that they become self-reliant. Looking through the lens of liberty, we see that America only remains free if we all take responsibility for ourselves and our children, not rely on the government. Do we really want free-range chickens but cooped-up kids?
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. It is World War II Day here at KDMT. We have in studio with us Wilburn Herbert Potter. He was in the U.S. Navy in the World War II, and he also fought in the Korean War. But right now, we're telling his story, and he was on the American Navy destroyer called the USS Abner Reed. And he had just told us before break, they got to go home for a quick little break. But now, let's get back into the war. So Will, your ship was sent to the South Pacific. You were in the Lady Gulf, and you were the first ship to be hit by a kamikaze, by a Japanese kamikaze. Tell us that story.
Okay. It was kind of a blast all at once. But at any rate, we were stationed up along the coast there and ordered to proceed with the convoy of battleships and troops to a place called Lady Gulf in the Philippines. And the battleships along there received a lot of attention, cruisers and so forth, because the Japanese knew that what we were up to, apparently. And there was a big battle going on here. They wanted two destroyers to hold the entrance to Lady Gulf in case Japanese ships came through, wanted to come through and go back down to the main part of the base there. And along the way, we ran into all kinds of problems with the other Japanese ships. And on this part of the trip, they decided to turn back, but they lost several of their ships, and two of the ships that we have, the Jackson and the Hole, Johnson and the Hole, both were destroyed by the Japanese. So coming back to Lady Gulf again, we were along the edge of it, and the next day after the big battle that we had, here came over the mountains and swooped down, and it was Japanese suicide formation, and they call them kamikazes, and we were the only stationed there at the base, and no other ship was nearby, and so we were a good target for them. So the Japanese planes were coming in from all different directions, and this one was being fired on by the Abner Reed, by my two guns up ahead. They call them twin pom-poms, and I was the loader on this particular gun, and it was on the starboard side forward, and we were firing at these airplanes coming in as kamikazes. And this particular one was hit, but he had already dropped his bomb, and it sailed down, and for some reason or another, it went down through the after stack and into the fire room downstairs and exploded down in the basement or bottom of the Abner Reed and blew a big hole in it, and that's what caused the ship to sink. And then the airplane itself crashed into the center part of the ship and set fire to it because the gasoline exploded. So we had the Abner Reed on fire, and people, they could not put the fire out because they didn't have any water to do it. So the captain of the ship ordered the crew here to abandon ship, and decided that we should jump over the side, and another ship by the name of Claxton came by, and as we jumped over the side, we rescued many of them, over 180 were picked up by the Claxton while the Abner Reed was sinking, and finally the ship itself went down, and other troops or sailors were in the water were rescued by another ship that came by and aided us. Well, what they did here was send us back on leave again. While they didn't do that. We were put aboard the Pinckney. That's it. We were put aboard the Pinckney, which was a hospital ship that was being rescued and was being used as a hospital ship, of course, and sent down south to Sydney, Australia, where it was taken.
Wilburn, I've got a question for you. Let's back up just a little bit. This is a pretty amazing story that you are on the Abner Reed and that you are loading one of the pom-pom guns, correct?
Yes.
And you see this kamikaze plane. You said the formation. So how many were there when they came over the mountain?
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't tell you that because nobody had time to count anything.
But there was a lot of them then, huh?
Yes. There were a lot of Japanese suicide bombers at this particular time. And
you said that was because they were getting desperate. Right.
Yes, and they were ordered to sink as many American ships as possible, and so every ship there was firing at them as they came over the mountains and swooped down. So that's what happened to...
What about when you got the order to jump? I assume you guys put on life jackets and then you jumped overboard. I mean, is there an art to jumping off of a burning ship, or do you just jump? What happens exactly?
Well, no, the case is that everyone had a life jacket, supposedly, to wear, and some didn't and some didn't. Now, I didn't know how to swim, so I carried my life jacket everywhere I went.
Good thinking.
or being available. So as when we got the order to abandon ship, I got my life jacket, of course, put it on, and they had a rope hanging over the side, and I'd grab this rope and then swing out as far as I could from the ship and let loose and sail into the water. Took my shoes off first, though, to be sure that I didn't have too much weight. And then I was picked up by the Claxton for the rest of the trip. And at this point, we went down to on the troop ship to Bremerton and discharged all the troops down there in Washington. And it was not a very good troop ship to be on because they didn't have too much food because of all the troops on there and not much recreation. So I took in some of the poker games that they had down there in the hold and watched them play poker. And then after the poker games, they would send sweepers down there, and they would sweep up the $5 bills and the $5 bills that were all torn up, all torn up and dirty, and toss them over the side.
Now, why did they tear the $5 bills up? Should I know that?
Well, after a lot of these poker games, I guess they just wore out.
Oh, my gosh. That is something.
It was mainly the army that was playing the poker.
Okay.
I didn't know how.
Now, Wilburn, we're just about to the next break, and we want to hear a story when we come back from break about you and your wife. Very quickly, where were you when you heard that the war was over? Did you remember that?
Yes. We were in Vallejo, California, and the ship was being repaired.
So hold that thought. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We are talking about Warren Potter, who was a young Navy guy in World War II. Just described to us about jumping off the Abner Reed before it sunk. We'll be right back.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. It is Friday, so it's World War II Project Day, and it has just been a great show. These stories are awesome. We have Wilburn Potter in studio with us. He's a World War II vet. Before we get to the last story, Molly, you and I love entrepreneurs. And Jeremy McCallum and the team over at Alliance Insurance Services, it's truly an entrepreneurial group of people there, but they can help you with all of your insurance needs, whether or not it's home, auto, your toys, life, all those things. And their phone number is 303-431-9351. And check out their website. It is insuranceincolorado.net. And they can certainly tailor a plan that's going to work best for you and your family. So that is Alliance Insurance Services, 303-431-9351. Give them a call and tell them that you know the AmeriChicks.
Absolutely. So you got to be an entrepreneur to appreciate an entrepreneur, because you know what it's like to bang your head up against the wall. Anyways, so let's get back. We're with Will Herbert Potter, and he was in the U.S. Navy in World War II, and then later we'll bring him back on to talk about his time in the Korea. So, Will, tell us another story about your time in the war.
Oh, okay. One of my stories about coming around with the Warwick, I worked in the supply office doing dispersing and checking things for the ship store that I was in charge of also.
And that's the U.S. Abner Reed.
Yes. During this time, we had a young man in there who would love letters to a person's wife, because he said that he didn't know what to write. And so he would sit in this chair, and the other storekeeper would take a hold of the typewriter, and he would ask, what color hair she had, and he would tell her. And he said, what, did you love her and all this? And so as he was talking all this time, well, he would type away. And it goes on and on and on like this. And he would write a long letter, maybe a page and a half, 2 pages, I guess, and give to him. And then he would charge you, that person, that other sailor, how much it would cost.
You talk about entrepreneurs.
Write this letter for you. And that was a pretty good idea.
Now, Wilbur, let's ask you a question. Did you write your letters home to Janie, or did you hire this guy to write letters?
No, I wrote my own, but I didn't know what to say sometimes. And the security office caught me at one time and asked me what PH meant. And I said, that's the when you write a letter or something, well, you need a paragraph. And I thought that PH would go pretty good on that. But he called me, Ben, and said, back in the office, and he said, what's this for? And I said, that's noted for a new paragraph. And he said, could it be Pearl Harbor? So I got caught with something like this. But at any rate, when I would write a letter to Mamie Janie, I didn't know what to say. So I got a hold of the letter before I mailed it and cut a hole in it and then sent it off to her. So after the war was over, why, she got a hold of this letter and asked me what I said in there because it had a hole in it. Well, I had to confess that I didn't know what to say. So I took this letter and cut a hole in it myself and then sent it to her.
Oh, my gosh,
Will, Wilbur. How many letters did you send? How often were you writing letters home?
Oh, my. I wrote a lot of letters at that time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see, another time there was, I don't know about this one. It's a code that I had set up before I joined the Navy, and like getting a hold of a map and writing down different countries along the way, and each one would have a time on it, like 12 noon or 2 minutes after 10 or something like this, you know. And as I wrote the letter, I'd put the time down, and then when Janie got the letter, she would look on the list and see where 2 hours and 10 minutes was, and go to the list and found out that I was New Guinea. Well, she followed me all the way through the war with this code, and nobody ever caught it. That was pretty good, I think.
That's pretty ingenious,
pretty
definitely.
Sneaky. So what about another shipmate story? You had a shipmate that worked in the engine room.
Yeah, he was pretty good. We were coming back on the Laureline, and this young guy says, we were getting kind of hungry because there's 4 people to a stateroom, and they had a great number of troops aboard the Laureline headed for the United States. So he said, when a fat man comes by the door here, the opening, why, let's track him. Because a fat man will take us where the kitchen is. So pretty soon here came a fat man coming by the door, and we all took off single file, went all through the Laureline, it seemed like, and went down to the bottom of the ship and walked in, and there was the kitchen for the Laureline and all the troops that were on it. And we walked in, and then some chef says, oh, what's the matter? You guys kind of hungry, are you? And we said, yes. And he treated us to a great dinner. And so that's my story on a fat man. So if you need hungry or something, join with a group for down the ship or whatever. With a fat man, and he'll lead
you. Oh, my gosh. Wilburn Potter, it has just been great having you in studio to tell us these stories. We are just about out of time. What would be kind of a final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners? What would you want them to know?
Okay, the main thing I would like to know is that what you don't want to do. We were over in New Guinea, and the troops came aboard ship, and the new troops, about 15 of us altogether, of those troops, slept under one of the 5-inch 38s, and as those cannons went off, the deck seemed to jump about 5 inches, and they said, "We don't want to be part of this," and they left the ship. Now, another one is, over there in those places where we bombed and everything, some of them we had supplies to, and the troops went over to get these supplies were getting thirsty, and they needed water, and they tried the tanks of water. Yet don't you ever, ever drink hot water with chlorine in it. It's the worst thing you could drink. And those troops over in New Guinea that didn't have any water had to drink water or either just do without. So,
okay.
I feel sorry for those troops who always had to drink chlorine water.
Okay. Well, Wilburn Potter, thank you so much for being in studio with us. We do have very quickly on the line with us, I think, Mike Tompkins, and he is up in Grand Lake with U.S. Constitution Week, and it is amazing what you guys are going to be doing next week. So, Mike Tompkins, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be on.
So you guys are a little busy up there, aren't you? I mean, there's no other Constitution Week in the country, and it's right there in Grand Lake, right here in Colorado. So tell us just a little bit about that.
Well, this is our sixth annual. It is our largest by far. We have 10 speakers starting on Monday, September 11th, 2 speakers most days, and a keynote speaker on Saturday. And on Saturday, we're going to have the big Constitution Day parade and ended up with fireworks that night.
Well, Molly and I are going to be coming up there on Friday. We're really excited about it. And we will be emceeing the main event on Saturday. We'll be in the parade. And we just love what you guys are doing there. Now, if people want to come up, how can they find out about accommodations? What's the website?
Well, the best way is to look up the Grand Lake Chamber. And they'll have all the hotels, and we also have a Facebook page specifically for the Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week.
Well, great. Well, we know that you guys are very busy, and it is really a special thing. How's the Weather Committee? How are they doing their job?
Well, you know, this is our sixth, and every Saturday has been just perfect blue sky, fluffy white clouds. So we're hoping for 6 in a row.
Okay, well, great. Well, Mike Tompkins, thank you so much with U.S. Constitution Week on Grand Lake, and we will be seeing you next week. And definitely, again, what's that website?
That is U.S. Constitution Week on Facebook.
Okay, very good. So, Mike, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
Hey, looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, and obviously we care about the Constitution. We care about the rule of law. We care about protecting everybody's rights, you know, regardless of your background or your economic status or the color of your skin. That's what America is all about. And our Constitution protects everybody's rights. That's why it's important to know what's in there. And it's World War II Day. We've had such a great conversation with Wilburn Herbert Potter. He was in the U.S. Navy. He couldn't swim, but he was daring enough to join the U.S. Navy during World War II and served over in the Pacific Theater. And I just think that's very interesting. And we're going to have Will back again in the future because he also served during Korea.
Right. And thank you to Doug and to Kathy for bringing Wilburn in. That's his son and daughter-in-law. So thank you so much for being in studio with us. So I've got two Admiral Nimitz quotes to finish us up here. The first is by Chester M. Nimitz, or W. Nimitz. Some of the best advice I've had comes from junior officers and enlisted men. The other I love. He says, a ship is always referred to as she because it costs so much to keep one in paint and powder. That's Chester W. Nimitz.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Okay, well, Wilburn Potter, thank you so much. It is our honor to have you in studio. Our listeners love these stories, and we are just so grateful that you're here.
Thank you for being here. I do appreciate it. And happy time together with everyone.
Okay. Thank you, Wilburn Potter.
God bless you.
This is the AmeriChicks. We'll be back on Monday, and you have a great weekend.
Talk to you then.